Grace, mercy, and peace are now yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today there's a theme in our readings that God is a God of life. He knew your name, He created your life. In the Old Testament lesson, He tells Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, before I formed you in the womb, not by some accident, but before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And we see the Lord of life walking on this earth doing some amazing things. If you remember last week, Jesus went to his hometown after meeting Satan in the wilderness, and you'd think that would have been a great homecoming, and it was initially, but then it turned pretty bad. His hometown tries to kill him, but Jesus walks through the big crowd, and it says he went on his way. Where did he go on his way? Well, the text tells us he went down to Capernaum. He went from his hometown, and he came preaching to Capernaum in Galilee by the sea, by the water. And the people here were amazed. They were amazed by his words. He hadn't done anything for them yet. He just spoke. And they were amazed because, the Bible says, his words had authority. They had never heard words like this before. His words had authority. And it wasn't just the people of Capernaum, it was the demons that lived in Capernaum. They were amazed at his words. They're cast out. They know who he is. You're not just a Jesus of Nazareth. You're the Son of God. Jesus silences them. And it's not just the demons that know and are amazed at Jesus. Even the diseases, they respond to Jesus, his words. They're turned back. They're healed by his words. And so we see this Jesus, not just any Jesus, walking through the great city of Capernaum, this big trade route city, this big port city where lots of people gather, and his words create life. His words restore life, and eventually they will see his words raise the dead to life. Jesus came preaching to Capernaum by the water, and the people were amazed. But are we amazed? This is not just some man of Galilee, not just some carpenter from Nazareth. This is the Word of God. This is the Word of God now dwelling in the flesh. The same Word which created all life. This is the very Son of God. The demons even shudder at this Son of God. Even they are amazed. Jesus came preaching to Capernaum, a major trade route on the sea, not some insignificant city, a major port city by the water. It's where everybody went through from the east to the west. You had to go through Capernaum, whether by foot or boat. And the people were amazed at his words because his words had authority. But are we really all that amazed? Oh, we're amazed. We're amazed at the words of all kinds of people. Trump and Clinton, Cruz and Sanders, Han Solo and Kylo Ren, Kanye West, and don't forget, Taylor Swift. We're amazed at the words of people who are dead. Socrates and Plato, Aristotle, Churchill and Roosevelt, Kennedy and Luther, and don't forget Luther Jr. We're amazed at words. Lots of words. People's words. But are we that amazed with Jesus and his words? They have authority. But do they have authority in our life? Just look at your Facebook page for 10 minutes. Or the newspaper. And you will see whose words amaze us. Jesus came preaching to the people of Capernaum, and they were amazed at his words because they had authority. They were amazed by just his words at first, and then because they're amazed, Jesus then shows him what his words actually do. They actually do have authority. Authority to create life, restore life, and even resurrect life. Because this Jesus is no mere carpenter. He is no mere son of Mary and Joseph. He is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. And so when Jesus speaks, his words aren't just words. They're God's words. They don't just communicate information. They cast out demons. They heal diseases. And eventually, he shows, they raise the dead to life. And that's why the people are amazed. So why aren't we amazed? Perhaps we're not so amazed at the words of this Jesus because we have our own demons. We have our own diseases. And we see death all around us. We seem to be hard-pressed from every angle in life sometimes. Sometimes we just lose hope. Just lose hope. We lose a grip on our life. Oh, we need this Jesus. We need this Jesus to walk into our Capernaum by our water. We need this Jesus to come and meet us where we're at with his word, which has authority. And the good news is Jesus does come. He comes preaching to us with his word by the water. By his word, by his water, not the Mississippi or the Missouri, not the Sea of Galilee, but he comes with his word by the water for sure, and his word by the water has authority to create life, to restore life, and to resurrect lives in ways that we could never imagine. I see, Jesus does not just come into our life and cast out demons. Jesus comes into our lives and casts out Satan, the king of all demons, by his word, which has authority by the water. Jesus, his word does not just heal us of our cancer or pneumonia, it heals us from our sins, which is the root cause of our death. His word has authority with simple water. Jesus' word puts the very resurrection of eternal life into our dying body and bones so that we will live forever. His word has authority by the water. And these words amaze us. These words do amaze us. And they have power and authority that the words on Facebook and the newspaper do not have. They amaze us, and that's why you did get up this morning, and you did come here this morning. You're not at home looking at your Facebook right now. You're not at home reading a newspaper. It's not wrong to go home and do that, but you're here now because his words, Jesus' words, have authority to create and restore and resurrect to life. And that's an amazing thing. By his word, his authority, our lives are changed. And so we go because he, by his authority, has spoken not just to us, but to us for others. To go to the Capernaums of our county and world and to speak his words. Well, where do we start? What do we say? The Apostles of the Nicene Creed is always a good place to start. Nice, concise little creed there. But his words carry his love, and he's put his love into us. That's where we start. His love has the power and authority to create life, restore life, and resurrect life from the dead. St. Paul, in our epistle lesson today, shows us the more excellent way. He says, let me show you the more excellent way. And I'm amazed at how many young couples always choose this reading for their wedding. It's a good reading. But I always wonder, as I or the pastor or someone who's reading the words, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. I wonder what is going through the mind of the woman in the white dress, or the man in the tuxedo, or the parents sitting in the pews, or the cousins, or the aunts and uncles, or the friends, or the wedding party. What is going through their mind when you read these words? I think many couples are thinking of Romeo and Juliet type love that will do anything, that will go to any length, climb any mountain for romance. But how did Romeo and Juliet end up? How does the story end? I think it's called a Shakespearean tragedy, right? There were also Greek tragedies, right? A tragedy is a story that ends in tragedy, in death. Romeo and Juliet had a beautiful love that crossed the boundaries of two families that could not love each other, but they ended up dead. Jesus' love, on the other hand, is so much different than Romeo and Juliet's. You see, Jesus loves when he's not loved. That's the difference. Jesus loves and sacrifices for others who don't respond with beautiful words, speaking to a beautiful woman in the balcony. Jesus' love loves the unlovable. That's the power of Jesus' love. That's why it never fails, because Jesus gives the love, offers the love. It's given unconditionally to the people who don't deserve it. And it's to the people who receive it, they understand, they're amazed at his love. Because when you receive it, then these words just blow you off your feet. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's this Jesus. That's his word that has authority. That's his word that is love, and that is his word that creates and restores and resurrects to life. And it's that Jesus with that word who sends us, baptized and clothed in that word and in that love, not a Romeo and Juliet love that ends in tragic death, but in his love, which ends in resurrected life. Jesus sends us out into a world to win the world for him. That's our mission. To win the world for him, because the world is dying. There's a lot of death out in the world. And the world has lost its hope. And so the world chooses to turn its face to Facebook and the newspaper and bumper stickers with the hope that Trump or Clinton or Cruz or Sanders or whoever, a new Kennedy or a new Roosevelt, a new Reagan will step forward and lead the way. But we don't go from here speaking mere words of men or women or even angels, St. Paul says. We do not seek some secret prophecy that if only we have the secret to, it will better our life here on earth. We do not seek some deep mystery. We don't need some golden tablets to understand this Jesus and his word. Because Jesus himself has put his very word of love and life into us. Not just for ourselves, but for the world. To speak out to the world. And his love never fails. It never ends in tragedy. It always, always creates, restores, and resurrects to life. And so we can go here today, not being afraid of the command to go and tell it on the mountain. But we can go with confidence, to our friends and families and neighbors who don't seem to get love, to the friends and families and neighbors and enemies who need love, to the friends and the family and the enemies who seem lost or are lost in darkness, on their way to death, and we can go with the same confidence that a young Jeremiah went. See, he too first said, "No way, God. No way, I'm too young, I will not go, pick somebody else." And God simply said, "You shall go." The same thing he said to Moses when Moses said, "I'm too old." So either you're too old or you're too young, God says, he doesn't even debate it. He just says, "You shall go and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid. I have put my words into your mouth." And so we go with this prayer, which Pastor James has already prayed. Lord God, your Son came among us to serve and not to be served, to give his life for the sins of the world. Lead us by his love to serve those to whom the world offers no comfort and little help. Through us, give hope to the hopeless, love to the unloved, and peace to the troubled, and rest to the weary, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.